Hey guys, welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast.
Hey, we're Trey and Lee Morgan from Childress, Texas, and we are glad you have joined us. It's been a couple of weeks since we have been on. The holidays have kind of hit us a little tough, and we've been busy. And last week's, or 2 weeks ago, our podcast on, we did one on one-sided marriages, where my spouse isn't trying, and I'm doing all the work, and wow, you guys blew that one up. And so obviously we struck a nerve and we're glad that you listened. We hope y'all are doing well and Christmas is coming quickly. And men, I'll remind you again, I hope you've got your Christmas shopping done because you can't wait till any longer. You're out of time.
Even if she says, don't get me a gift, go get her.
You get her a gift no matter what. So, and we put on Facebook the other day that, or on Instagram that, whatever you do, don't ever buy your wife workout equipment or a scale or cleaning supplies right. Unless she specifically asks for it. Because you actually, Lee, you actually asked for two of those things this year.
I did. I asked for a mop and some workout stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And long story, we'll throw this back to some old school early in our marriage. I told Lee one time that I had a surprise for her. I was bringing her a surprise one day, and I'd picked it up that morning before I went to work. Got home, and I don't know what she had in her mind that she thought she was going to get, but it was a Lions Club selling brooms. And I saw that, and I thought, hey, here's a nice dust mop for the kitchen. Anyway, she did not, that did not go over well at all. I brought her a dust mop for a prize.
It became a garage broom.
She refused to use it, and still, it's still in my garage. It has never made it into the house, so I bought myself a surprise that time. Let me tell you where we're going today. We have Chris and Tracy Brasher with us. They live in Georgia. They attended one of our Stronger Marriage workshops in Dalton, Georgia.
Yes.
And we just enjoyed getting to meet them and hang out with them. And we wanted to get them on to let you hear a little bit of their story. Their story's a little different than ours. And we like marriage stories. They don't always have to... They don't always start the same. We just want them all to end the same, where everybody's working and everybody's on board at the end and going and everything else. But we are excited to have Chris and Tracy. Glad y'all are here with us. Y'all say hello to everybody.
Hello. We're so excited to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on, Trey and Lee.
Absolutely. Tell us real quickly a little bit about yourselves. We would love to know how long y'all have been married.
Well, we have been married. Well, I would say we've been married and together for 30 years. During that time, actually, we had some time apart with separation and divorce and then back together. So as you said in some of your podcasts, sometimes your story is a little windy road with some peaks and valleys. And I would definitely say we've had peaks and valleys.
Well, we're good. We're going to ask them. We're hoping to hear some more about that here in a little while. But, you know, there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast that have valleys. We have valleys, but they may be in a valley. And we think y'all's story can kind of be a little inspiration to don't give up.
Thank you. We hope we can help someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And y'all met back. Did y'all go to school together or how did y'all meet?
No, we actually, we met through work. It was work related. And I, growing up in the Southeast, moved out to the Midwest, Kansas City area, taking on a job. It was, you know, early on for me, in my career, in the business that I'm in. And, we met at a sales meeting that, for the company that Tracy worked for. She lived in and grew up in the Midwest, in the Kansas City metro area. And, we met in 1988.
There you go.
So, you know, I was sitting in this sales meeting with probably 300 people and this really handsome, guy walked up to the stage, to introduce himself to our group. And the first words out of his mouth were, it's just so nice to meet y'all. And he had this incredible, sweet Southern accent. And of course, me being from the Midwest, I was like, oh my God, I'm melting. Like, I'm totally melting. And just looking at him, he was so handsome. And I just said, oh my God, that's my guy.
There
you go. I knew instantly that he was my guy.
Well, and it was interesting that at that particular sales meeting, Tracy just happened to be sitting next to, and literally on the front row, the sales manager of, you know, the guy that I was trying to really get to know and have a relationship with, and as far as getting to understand him and what his sales team was about. And there she was. As I would look at him, I couldn't help but see Tracy either. I mean, she was sitting right next to him. And I moved to Kansas City the following month from the time that sales meeting took place. And the lady that was kind of my liaison that was helping show me around, you know, one of my first questions to her was, you know, who was that lady I saw?
There you go. Smart guy.
And from there, she introduced us, and we began dating through starting off with events through her company. And, you know, we probably dated a year and a half, or close to maybe a year, before we got engaged, mm-hmm. wasn't it? And then from the time we first met to the time we got married was about a year and a half.
Very good. Tell me a little bit about first years of marriage. Were they pretty common and normal, or where did things, you mentioned things kind of got off track.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Trey, I think one of the things was we came from, you know, two different backgrounds. And I think Chris's family, there wasn't a lot of faith based. They didn't go to church. He wasn't brought up that way, which I was. You know, our family, we did the church thing every Sunday, and that was a big part of my growing up. And his family, he had divorce. In his family, he came from divorced parents that were, it was a pretty tough situation, kind of ugly still, you know, during that time. And I grew up in that, you know, the home where my parents were married and had always been married, and just kind of that family model. And so I think from the very beginning, there were some struggles on how we interacted because of, you know, what we saw, you know, mm-hmm. growing up in our different homes. And I think, well, I'll never forget one of our first conversations when I knew I was in trouble was, you know, we both worked. And I remember us sitting down having our first financial conversation. And I know you've talked about that before, where I kind of said, well, you know, my paycheck is mine, right? I just kind of do my thing or spend it or do whatever, because that's what my mom did. You know, that's how I grew up. That's how I saw it. And of course, Chris's views were very different than, no, that's our money. That's not your money. And so, you know, there's all these things when, before you get married, a lot of conversations or realizations that you don't have until you are married.
Exactly. And you don't think about those kinds of questions that you need to ask before you get married that can turn into big issues later.
Definitely. And then, of course, we were those people that God gifted us a child. We basically got pregnant on our honeymoon. So not only were we getting used to each other, we also had a child, you know, 9 months after getting married. So that was a huge adjustment, a huge blessing. But also, you know, the whole deal of, wow, we're already parents.
Right. An added, a little bit of an added stress, even though it was a blessing.
Yes. So definitely we started off with a bang. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was super excited to hear about baby boy coming along, baby boy number one. that was great.
Yeah, that can put some stress on a marriage, especially when you're trying to get to know one another and adjust to living with someone of the opposite sex. It's got very different thoughts and philosophies than your own.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, what's crazy is looking back now, 30 years ago, it is amazing to see how God works and how you know, ultimately, I know now looking back that he totally chose Chris and I for each other, because there are so many areas where he's strong and I'm weak, and I'm strong and he's weak. Mm-hmm. And although sometimes you get to where you're like, oh my God, you're acting like my father. You know, don't be, you get as a role of a husband and wife, just getting in those where I can accept your criticism or I can accept your differences. And if we work together, those make us stronger. But we were both very headstrong people. Very, very headstrong people. So there were some troubles in the beginning.
Yeah, I would agree. I would certainly agree that there's no doubt in my mind that, the only woman for me on this earth is Tracy.
Yeah.
I didn't come to realize it until, you know, and I think I brought this to her attention a number of times when we were, I'm kind of moving ahead when we were divorced or and that kind of thing. And I would look at her and just say, if I can't be married to you, I don't know who I can be married to.
Right.
So, I mean, it was just one of those things that, I mean, I guess my underlying message to her there was, I don't want to be married to anybody else but you, even though there was a time when I was pretty angry. But anyway, it's, again, I like Tracy said, it's, I don't think there's anybody on this earth that was put on this earth for anybody but me. And it's Tracy.
That's good. Yeah, that wasn't the case somewhere earlier, just because you mentioned that there was some separation in there and some issues. Because what we're hoping is somebody's going to catch this and go, hey, we're there and we can still make it work, even if we're separated or maybe even if we're divorced and still trying to work things out.
How long were you married before you separated and divorced?
You know, seven years.
No, we were married for 11 years.
But so 11. I apologize.
11 years. And then we were divorced for 12 years.
If you would believe that. But we weren't. You know what's funny is in that 12 years, I would say we were only really apart for like a year and a half.
So y'all were still connected, even though you were not married at the time.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think in many of your podcasts, you know, and even in going to your workshop, one of the things that I don't think that we did and we understood at the time was the communication piece, the really strong communication piece. And that, you know, you talk about how, you know, you think that maybe you just have friends or you're just communicating with other people, because both Chris and I are in the food service business, so we travel for work. So there were times, you know, when we were apart from each other and in other cities and, you know, with other people and other groups. And for me, which is so hard to even think or say, because, you know, I can remember us going through our marriage prep class. And one of the things that in our discussions, they have you do exercises. And Chris said, the only deal breaker for me ever would be if, you know, you had an affair. Because I just, like, I could never handle that. Like, it would be so hard because he dealt with that, you know, in his parents' marriage. And I, you know, sitting there, what was so crazy is I'm like, well, I would never do that. Like, no, you know, my family, my faith, like, no, never. And so I think also in my mind, thinking that that could never happen to me, is you kind of have this blind vision, and it did happen to me. I was the one. And it was so unbelievable, because as you speak about, it happens just like so easily. Like you never think it's going to happen. You're just having a conversation and you're just friends. And then that friendship turns to something where they're making you feel a way that your spouse is not at the time. Mm-hmm. And so you look at that going, oh, well, this seems easier. I don't have all these problems that I have with my spouse. And so you just start to build this relationship, which does turn into an affair. And as you've mentioned so many times, for women, it's so much more of an emotional communication situation than it ever is a sexual thing. And so, but that turns into something that then turns sexual. And then, you know, it got to the point that it ended our marriage. And I got to tell you, I can remember, and we're writing our story now. I can remember there were so many times where he was willing to work and I wasn't, or I was willing to work and he wasn't, because you're kind of at that stalemate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the time when I realized that, you know, what the heck am I doing? Like, I have this family and I have this man, and I know this is the person that God chose for me. So what am I doing? And I remember having that moment of, I have just like destroyed, you know, my family. And so the whole pride, the whole, I mean, just everything just kind of overwhelms you at the time. And I remember going to Chris and saying, you know, I'm sorry, and I screwed up, and I want to fix this. And I still remember to this day him saying to me, I will be dead before I will ever be married to you again.
Mm.
And at that moment,
I was pretty angry.
Oh, ooh. It was, well, you should have been. You should have been at that moment. But I remember Trey at that moment seriously dropping to my knees and going, oh my God, like, it's where do I go? What do I do? And just, you know, praying. And then at that moment, realizing, okay, this is what I want, and what am I going to do about it? And so you start fighting, and you know, there was a lot of, I don't even know how to explain, but it was hard. It was painful.
We can't,
a lot of trust issues that had to be rebuilt.
Sure. Absolutely.
Trust issues are huge, and we can't even imagine the pain and just the hurt and the heartache. Was there a turning place? Was there something that happened, Chris, that kind of made you go, okay, let's at least talk about this?
You know, I will tell you, you know, initially when we were divorced, I made it a point to try to, I mean, we were trying to keep our issues away from the children.
Mm-hmm.
And not bring our issues up in front of the children, or ever speak badly of one another, even though you might, you know, you were maybe wanting to say something badly. We never did that around both of our boys. I think they were as instrumental in help bringing us back together as we were. And you know, seeing some of the pain that they were experiencing is what really got to me a little bit. And
you were a child of divorce,
right?
Went through an ugly.
I knew what that had been like, and now I was seeing my own two children going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Softened me, and Tracy and I would interact, and when we were, you know, through different events that we would both show up for the children, you know, a lot of folks that we knew and were acquainted with and were friends of for the longest time didn't know we were divorced.
Hmm.
We have a number of people that have come back and told us after they've heard our story that they thought that they never knew we were divorced to begin with.
Gotcha.
So again, you know, it was again not putting any more pressure on the boys as to what was going on, but at the same time seeing what, you know, at times when we would go through something where maybe the children had something going on, and you know, through divorce you have to work out all these different schedules, and you know, sometimes they don't work out,
right,
you know, from a priority standpoint for the kids. And when you start forcing them to do something they don't want to do, and I see you're about to. You're,
no, well, I think, I, well, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, generational curses. I totally believe that you can change a situation, and there was divorce and there was, not truthfulness going on through the generation above us. And, you know, I totally want to change that for my children. And I think one thing that I think most parents of, you know, divorce that you experience with your children is the first time you don't have a holiday with them, or the first time you realize that another person that your spouse, ex-spouse might be dating is now a part of your children's lives. And there's just, there's so much that you start, you know, you just have this awakening of, you know, what am I doing? Like, family is to me, I just feel like it's the core of everything. Sure. And looking back at me now, you know, how could Satan not be coming towards me? Because I was vulnerable at the time, and to come and to break up my family, I mean, that, you know, that's the ultimate goal. And I just said, you know, this isn't going to happen. We're going to stop this now. And it took several years and it, you know, going back. And again, you've talked about many times on, you have to apologize, and I have to be more on his schedule of when he is accepting of starting to trust me again. And I had to build that, and I had to earn that.
And you worked at it. It wasn't a, hey, I'm sorry, you should just forgive me and we should move on.
No. I started with
that, saying that we should try to do that, and then it got to the point where I got, you know, I did put her through the ringer from a standpoint of making her earn it.
Sure.
But it was, you know, she came through with flying colors, I will tell you. And
Thank you.
I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, every little thing that I needed to help me regain trust, you provided.
Well, I hope people are catching that, because there are a lot of people out there, especially men, and don't get this wrong, but especially men who think, hey, I apologized and she should just, you know, my pride won't let me, you know, bend over backwards or get on my knees or do whatever it is that she asked to help rebuild trust. And they just expect everything to be fine.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't work that way. And it took a long time, because, you know, as you go back through stuff, Trey, you start to realize, I mean, he became that person to me that I first fell in love with. And as you start to go back over the things that me as the person who did have the affair, the pain that you caused someone that you love, that, you know, starts to change you, and to where you start to go, you know, how could I really do that to someone who I do love and who is my best friend and who I always envision, you know, spending the rest of my life with? Like, I never, ever envisioned there would be anybody but Chris. I mean, you know, I wanted that Hallmark marriage life, but life hits you. Mm-hmm. And if you guys are not communicating and connecting and doing things like your workshop, one of the things that I loved about your workshop is the questions that you make each other ask yourself, and what is important and what does that other person value? Because I know in our relationship, you know, Chris thought, hey, I'm giving her what she needs. You know, I'm supporting, or I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I felt the same. Well, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm doing this and this. But we weren't really communicating about what each other really needed. And I would say, you know, at times, children came first. And it's not that your children shouldn't be the, you know, important. But, you know, I find it funny. I've talked to some couples who, you know, have heard our story, and we've shared it with them. And one of the things I say is it cracks me up when, you know, couples say, well, I can't stand my spouse, or I can't believe you got back, or how you can physically be with that person, or how you can love them, because I hate my ex, or the person they're going through. And, you know, one of the things I've said is, I'm like, well, do you hate your children? And they're like, well, no. And I said, well, you know, have your children done things that have, you know, hurt you, upset you, or that you weren't on the same page with? And they're like, well, yeah. And I said, but we don't ever not love our children. We always show our children grace, no matter what.
they do because they're our children. But we wouldn't have our children without our spouse. And our, you know, you look at, I don't know about you, I know you guys have four wonderful children, but I look at my two boys and they're 50% him, 50 me. And if I love them with all of their dad's traits, you know, then why would I not love their dad and show him the same grace? So
such a great point. Such a great point.
Yeah.
So tell us about how long have you got remarried? Was that odd? Was that strange to go back and do it all again? You've been remarried for how long now?
It'll be coming up on 7 years.
That's fantastic. And did you re-propose or?
It's interesting trying to reckon. We can't determine. We're still not agreeing on which date we recognize as our anniversary.
No, it's the original one, Trey.
Well, as long as I say you celebrate both of them.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I should get guests on both of them.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yes, for both. We did get remarried, and it was so awesome. We were on the beach with our two boys. It was just, you know, us redoing it. But we were together before we remarried, but we finally made it official, and it was the most incredible day, the second most, because the first was when I first married Chris. But, you know, I think for me, it's just so important that people believe that no matter where you are today, and it may seem like it could never get better, but if I can hear my husband say, I'd rather be dead than be married to you, and say, great, I'm not quitting, and you will remarry me someday. And I do, and I thought that was so funny, because on that conversation you said, well, you go with that, and you just hung up the phone on me. And I'm like, okay, so it is just all me. And sometimes there's only one of us working, but if you just believe and pray and stay focused that that's who God chose for you, and you just don't quit.
You just gotta keep fighting, don't you?
You do, because it's, I can't imagine my life without him now as we're empty nesters, even though I love on your introduction when you say the person that drives you.
Oh, yeah.
The most crazy, because he does someday. Oh, my gosh.
Men have that ability to do that to their wives.
God, you men do. You just do.
We're sometimes the most annoying people in the world, but yet you still love us. You wouldn't want to do life without us.
Oh, I would not. I would not ever want to.
What advice would you give yourselves if you could go back and kind of give your... Today, if you could somehow go back in time and catch yourselves early in marriage, what advice would you tell a young y'all?
You want me to start?
Sure.
I mean, for me, it would be to broaden your patience bandwidth, for lack of a better term. I don't know why that term came up. Have more patience in all aspects of what you do, and whether it be with your wife or your children. I don't know that I was, the boys have even commented, as I've gotten older, my patience is much better than it once was. And maybe if I was holding too high expectations for everybody, I'd just say, if you can be patient or broaden your ability for patience, for me, that's what I would have told myself. Said you will greatly benefit from that.
That's good advice.
Just be more patient.
And I would say, you know, focus more on the good stuff, and just really appreciate what you have, and just be in the moment, because I think, again, sometimes we're all trying to say, well, this looks bigger, this looks better, this person's it, all that. And instead of just being grateful for what the gifts that God has given you, because we're men and women, so you can switch, you can change, you can try, but in the end, still going to have the same struggles. So why not fix them with the one that you started with and make it to the end with that one? Is kind of my philosophy.
I mean, it goes back to, I don't see myself being married to anybody but Tracy.
There you go.
Never have.
Despite the one time that you said you'd be dead before you would.
Oh, I was angry. I was very angry about what was going on there.
Can understand that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if a couple came to you guys, a couple who was really struggling in their marriage, came to you guys for advice, what would you tell them?
Well, first of all, I think I'd say go back to that first day, you know, your first day of your marriage, the day you married him, your wedding day, because as I go back and just really focus on why you chose that person and why you married that person. And if you can get back to those moments, those better times of knowing that, you know, they were your one, and only. So there was a reason for that. And just focus on that and really, again, focus on all the good qualities.
Bring back all those things that lit your fire about one another.
Yeah, that you really loved about them back in that day, because it's going to remind you that that person's still there. They're still there. And we've just, you know, years. But
yeah, sometimes life can get in the way of, you know, of not seeing that person still.
Yeah.
And let outside influences, you know.
We let too much get in the way, don't we?
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, just like we said a while ago, our spouse is going to get on our nerves. But we gotta focus on the good. I mean, we could constantly focus on the negatives, but you have to have more patience, like Chris said, and just let some things go.
And I have so learned to do with that. You gotta remember when you're first married, I remember just the littlest things I would, oh my God, that just hurt my feelings. I can't believe he said that, or I can't believe he thought that, or whatever. And now I just go back to, oh my gosh, she's just having a bad day. It really has nothing to do with me.
Right.
But in the beginning, you take so much on that's all towards me is anger, is frustration, what's ever going on during the day. And 99% of the time, it has nothing to do with me. But we're the ones that receive it and take it. And so I've learned to just look at him and go, okay, this is not about me. You're having a bad day. How can I help you? And I'm not, but yeah, you would just like, I just couldn't believe back in the day that he would say those things. And it just, and you just learn. You just learn that they love you and they want you to be their biggest supporter and their biggest cheerleader. And so do we sometimes, and, you know, and taking the test, we're going to affirmation people.
I don't tell you enough how much I appreciate you.
Oh, did you? Wait, that is recorded, right?
It is.
I mean, how that recorded? I get to play that back?
It's true. I mean, I don't give her enough praise.
Yeah.
For all the things that she's done up to this point. I mean, sitting back, and we were talking earlier about, I mean, I really put her through the ringer, and, you know, thank God she stayed with it, because here we are today because of it.
How do you think God played a role in this?
You know, I gotta tell you this crazy story, and I'll just make it really quick, but we have this really cool spiritual guy, and, you know, I'm a believer of all faiths, we should come together and cheer for each other and help each other no matter what faith, as long as you love God and, you know, you're doing your best. So we are Catholic, and I was at a prayer, we call it adoration. You go on like a Sunday night and you're just by yourself and you're just praying in the chapel. And I was in the chapel praying, and the next day, you're gonna think I'm crazy, but I got this call from this man out of the blue who I had done business with, and he started talking to me. He said, hey, I just have to share something with you. And I said, okay. And Jake, keep in mind, I've never met this man in person. And he said, the Lord just wanted me to share a message with you. And I was like, okay. And he said, you know, he heard you praying in the chapel last night, and you're waiting on a man, and just know that he is changing, his heart is changing, and it's all going to work out. And you guys cannot be without each other. Your souls are together forever. Okay, now I got to tell you that I sat there and started shaking because I was like, wow, in that moment. And I think that's what so many of us are looking for, is that we just want to know that God hears us and he's listening to our prayers, and to receive any kind of confirmation, however it comes to you. But in that moment, like, I knew it was going to be okay. And I shared that with Chris, that what had happened.
Yeah.
And that he said, you know.
You know, for me, it was, it's going back to something I said earlier, knowing that, I mean, I kept getting this message to me, this intuition that if I can't be married to Tracy, then I can't be married.
Which is God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He kept telling me that.
There you go.
That you're the one for me.
I think I would shake too if I got a message like that from someone. I think I would have the same reaction. I would shake as well.
Oh my gosh, Trent, I gotta tell you, it was, and I still speak to this gentleman today. He's amazing, and I just think any source or any voice or however you get, or you feel like you're closer to God, so open to that. And he, you know, has told us that, and we've shared our story and helped several couples. And I think the coolest thing is that our family is just such an awesome family. We're so close. They're, you know, my children know everything. I've shared everything with them. And, you know, I went to them and apologized to them for, you know, what I had done to our family, and, you know, told them how their father had forgiven me and what a great man he was to do that. And so our family is just so close and so tight. And now my, you know, children are getting married and have wonderful spouses. And so I just feel like God continues to bless us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we fight for our marriage and our family.
Well, we thank you guys for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, y'all are awesome for sharing your story. And we know that it will help some other couples and bless their marriages. And we just appreciate you guys for sharing your story.
It's not always easy telling a story, and it's definitely not easy saying, you know, we've had problems and we've done this and we've done this. And yet it's a story that God has given you, and you can use this to bless other people. And I think that there is a lot of power in sharing your story. And I appreciate that y'all are willing to do that.
Well, amen. And I got to tell you how much we appreciate you. Because
absolutely,
I love what you guys are out there doing for marriage, and you're so selfless doing it and wanting to promote and help anybody that wants to support marriage. And I'm sharing with everybody, if you can make one of their workshops, you need to go, because it was so fun. And it just was new information for Chris and I. I think anytime you can do something for your marriage, you should do it. And you guys do it in such a fun way. I love it. We have all your books. Everybody go get their books. We just got.
We did not ask y'all to give us this plug, right?
If we were on camera, I'd show you that I have a devotional. And me and Mr. Chris are starting tonight with day one of our devotional.
That's
so
awesome.
We love you guys. We appreciate you. And the next time you're by us, we're coming.
You got a deal. You got a deal. Well, let us sign off here. Y'all don't go anywhere, and let us sign off here. Let me ask you one quick question, and we didn't actually ask this ahead of time, but if someone reaches out to us and says, I'm going through what they're going through, and I would like to maybe visit with them, can I share an email with them?
You so can.
There are a lot of people sometimes that need to talk to someone who has been there. And one of the things that is really helpful is when you've got a story, you may be able to connect with people that we can't connect with. And so I wanted to throw that out there, and I will, if we have anyone reach out to us, we will pass that on.
Great. We would love that.
I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for joining us. We are honored. Y'all hang on for a second. We're going to sign off, and then we'll visit a few minutes more. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. We appreciate it. This is our first ever interview we've done, and we just kind of wanted to visit with Chris and Tracy and let y'all hear, hey, sometimes even the worst situations that you don't think you can recover from, you actually can when you refuse to give up and you continue to fight and you got God involved in it. And there are a lot of people that needed to hear today's podcast.
Yes. And I think they've reiterated a lot of the things that we have had in some of our episodes prior to this on, you know, being cautious about friends of the opposite sex and, you know, just keep on keeping on when you feel like things are one-sided. Yeah, just a lot
of the one thing that stood out to me that really, really just kind of light bulb over my head was the idea of, well, this would never happen to us.
Exactly.
And I think that anybody who ever goes, man, we would never let this happen to us, you're setting yourself up for trouble. You need to be on your guard all the time because Satan's good. He is so good.
Yes,
and
he
will get you. We're glad you joined us, and we're honored. We hope everybody has a great Merry Christmas. We know Christmas may be a little different. You may not get to spend it with all your family this year, but be thankful for what you have this year, and hopefully things will be back together and normal soon.
That's right. We are blessed with the greatest gift of God's Son, Jesus. So
that's right.
Merry Christmas to
you. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you all on the next podcast. Bye-bye.